Let's begin. We're on page Kuf Mem Tes. Kuf Mem Tes. Halacha Kuf Samach. Okay, Halacha Kuf Samach. Page Kuf Mem Tes. Imbosa Lidei Nisayon. The person has a Nisayon. He's tested by Hashem. He has a situation where he would like to sin. The Yetzer Hara is influencing him to sin. The his apakta, beautiful word, which means to hold back. Vayisapak Haman. Okay, Vayisapak Haman. Yosef holds back. You hold back from doing the Aveir. Vayis apakta lachtoi. So a person says to himself, wow, I'm a tzaddik. Look at this. I could have done such a terrible aver, and look how righteous I am. Al tachzik toivel lecha loimer amarti b'nisayoin. Don't take credit for yourself. In other words, don't pat yourself on the back. Why not? He says over here something that's really truly amazing, unbelievable things that he writes over here. Shema bo avoysecha lo'isa mida uchashaloi chatu. You know why? This is like what he's saying here is just awesome, totally awesome. Because maybe the same exact Nisayon was presented to your forefathers, and they really are the ones that had tremendous supernatural koyach. They worked on themselves to hold back, and when they succeeded, they were mispalel to Hashem. Bikshu me'akadosh baruch hu kishayavo bona ba'isim mida. If their descendants ever have this same situation, sheyisapku bohem mechatoi. Isn't this incredible? And what's the makar for this? This is a very popular idea. The makar is, how did it come about that Klal Yisrael, 6 million people, were able to accept, to go and sing Ani Mamin, whatever, all the stories we learn about when they died al Kiddush Hashem. They died in a frame of mind that is something that is not to be believed. They died with the words of Ani Mamin, Shema Yisrael. How the Klal Yisrael, how were they able to do this? So Chazal tell us is that it comes from Avraham Avinu, Avraham and Yitzchak. Avraham and Yitzchak, it was not natural for Yitzchak to be willing to be offered on the Akedah. It's not natural for Avraham Avinu to be willing to offer his son on the Akedah. Hashem says, Kach nos binchas yichitchas rahatas Yitzchak. Avraham, we can't even begin to fathom how Avraham Avinu was able to be oymed in this Nisayon, the tenth of Nisayonos, and offer his first, only child, I mean, now Yishmael, but Yishmael was not going to be his legacy, to offer Yitzchak on the Akedah. It's not possible for us to even fathom. When he did this, he was mispalel to Hashem. What was his tefillah? Elokim, Yireloi Haseh Le'ayla Bini. Now that simply means that let's move further. Vayikra Avraham Shem Hamakoyim Ahu Hashem Yireh. The simple meaning is Hashem, may he see this. Hashem the Malachim and said to him, Al Tishlach Yodcha El Hanar V'Al Ta'as Lo Me'uma. Avraham took him down, offered instead the Seh. Vayisena Vayar V'Hinei Ayil. Achar nechaz basfach bekarnav. He took the ayil. He replaced it. He replaced Yitzchak with the ayil. Offered the ayil, and he said to Hashem, Elokim yireloi hasel le'oila. May Hashem look at the seh that I'm offering on the mizbeach bini as if it was my son, because you Hashem know good and well that I was about to do it. I was willing to do it, and now the Malach told me the last minute not to do it. Okay, I'm going to listen to the Malach, but Hashem, you know that I was willing to do it. Therefore, when I bring the sin in this place, it should be as if I'm bringing the carbon. That's the simple reading of the pasuk. Now, here he goes. He now makes a drasha. He makes a very powerful drasha. It's a very popular drasha, but what's so amazing is how he applies this on a very practical level to us. Sheyiyu bonov nishchatim al kiddush Hashem. Now, first of all, he says something over here that is so bizarre, and like I told you, every paragraph of this sefer, you should be censored. I was talking to a woman recently, and she said to me, I hear you give a shiur. What do you give us? So she's trying to extract from me some information. So we learned Sefer Hasidim. What's Sefer Hasidim? So I started telling her, give me an example of something that says there in Sefer Hasidim. So I told her something. I told her what we learned that day. I don't remember what I told her. And she said to me, and I told her as a hakdama, I said, you know, it's very off the beaten track. It's fascinating. It's not necessarily practical, but there's a lot to learn. So give me an example. So I just told her what we learned that day. I don't remember. And I remember her expression. She was horrified. She says, "That's terrible." How she reacted. That's terrible. How could he say that? How could you say that? So I said, "You have a very good point. That's exactly why we learn it." I said it's something which there's no question. The things he writes there are very, very different, and it's not something that's very that if it had been written today, it would never see the light. No one would ever publish it. But it was written by very holy people 800 years ago, and there's a lot of truth. What we just read now is an explosive, explosive statement. You never heard this pshat before. That Avraham Avinu was mispalel that his children should indeed die al kiddush Hashem. Vayikra sheyihyu bonov, he was mispalel. Hashem, you got me. You got me. You got me. I'm not going to slaughter Yitzchak. Because the Malach said to me, "Al tishlach yadcha el hanar," but Hashem, I want to do it. So if not Yitzchak, so no, my descendants. I'm mispalel to you, Hashem, that it should be my children should die al kiddush Hashem. I'm in the same shock. You both asked the same question two different ways. Okay, yeah. Okay. You both asked the same exact question about Sachas. My jaw has dropped the same way your jaw dropped. What did you just say? What, he was mispalel that someone should, children should die? He's mispalel there should be a Holocaust. There should be pogroms. There should be... I mean, what does this mean? Shocking. What?
But Yitzchak, the Akedah that is the inspiration for...
Martyrdom.
And so it could be interpreted as saying, may my descendants have the
That's how I started. Today it's very well accepted, this idea that how was it that the Kedoshim through all the generations, all the pogroms, all the tsarists leading the lasting with the Holocaust and even past the Holocaust, how were they able to die with the words Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? How were they able to die singing Ani Mamin? How? How was it possible for a human being, it's human nature, to be bitter, to be angry? How is it possible? So all the commentators across the board say that it is in our blood going back from Avraham and Yitzchak. That's the only thing that makes sense. It's not possible. You don't find this by other nations. You don't find when other people were died for their values, for their causes, that they died with such...
The Arkada wasn't a public performance of something to show Kiddush Hashem. The following God's word, and he said it wasn't public.
So what? Doesn't matter. Let's take a step back. You touch upon something that's very, very important. It is a misunderstanding. Kiddush Hashem has nothing to do with publicity. We unfortunately have been, I don't know why that lingers in our mind. All the commentators make it clear as day. If you are in a sub-basement, in a little room, and no one is watching, there is no communication. You surround yourself in a room where even the satellites can't get to you. And you have in front of you a nisoyon. Should I eat this non-kosher food? No one will ever know. What?
The Akedah was not a mitzvah.
It was the command of Hashem. doing something even privately when no one knows about is a total expression of Kiddush Hashem. You don't need to have people know about it. There is another type of level of Kiddush Hashem where it's Berabim, where people know about it. Or a Chilul Hashem when you're on the front cover of the newspaper doing something that is horrible. That totally expands the scope exponentially of how great the disgrace to Hashem's name is. But even if you're all alone and no one is watching, in the most private setting, if a person fulfills Hashem's will, it's a Kiddush Hashem. If he transgresses Hashem's will, it is a Chil Hashem. It has nothing to do with someone else in this world knows about it or not. If someone happens to know about it, it is just a greater manifestation of Kiddush Hashem or Chil Hashem. But it's the same Kiddush and Chil Hashem when you're all alone. Just because the Akedah took place in the place where, you're right, no one was watching, it was private setting, even Yishmael and Eliezer were not witnesses to the Akedah. Shvulchem po'im achamar v'anivan anelcha. I don't want you to see what's going to happen. It's not for you even to see this. This was private. It's still a Kiddush Hashem. Yeah?
Couldn't be that's you asked the question. Maybe that was the point. Go Kiddush Hashem. I mean, you couldn't fight that. But the point to show that we're going to Kiddush.
Right. That's what's coming. Today, it is accepted as follows. Chas v'shalom, a million times over, should any person die for any reason whatsoever. It's the biggest horror. And we mispalel with all of our heart to only live. Only live. No such thing as dying. A person should want to die, al Kiddush Hashem. Chas v'shalom v'chasham. A person should pray with all of his heart that he should never need to die al Kiddush Hashem, and none of his descendants and none of anyone in Klal Yisrael should chas v'shalom die al Kiddush Hashem. But if it ever happens, for whatever reason, that Hashem does not accept our tefillos, does not accept our desire, and Hashem decides, for whatever reason, that a person has to die al Kiddush Hashem, then we should not be bitter. We should not be bitter. We should accept it. We should accept it, and we should understand that we don't understand Hashem's ways. Kiloi machshavos hamachshavoseichem, the tzaddik v'raloi. It's Hashem's ratzon, and we should say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and sing the Ani Mamin. Just like Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, who was in America when the war broke out, and he was here raising money, and he says, I have to now go back to Baranovich, to my yeshiva, to my talmidim, and they said, but Rabbi, if you go back, you're going to die. They're going to kill you. Why are you going back? He said, it's my duty. These are my students. You're right. I know I'm going to die. I know in my heart I'm going to die. But they can't come here. There's no way for them to get out. It's not proper for me to abandon my people. I have to go back and die with them. And he went back and he was with them. And when they took them all out to die, they took him into the forest, he spoke to them, was mechazik them, and he told them that when we're dying now, al Kiddush Hashem, it's as if we're our sacrifices, karbonis. And when the person brings a karbon, the kavana, the thought of the owner of the karbon, of the kohen who brings the karbon, is critical. The whole Masech Zvachim, the whole Seder Kachim is all about pigul. What is pigul? A machsheves psul, a thought. If you don't have a proper thought, you think we're going to eat it later than we should, this and that, or you have a machsheva chutz l'mekoymoy, we're going to eat it in the wrong location. Thought is critical. We now have to be mitaher our machshavas, our thoughts, as we die al Kiddush Hashem. And the greater kavana we have, the more we're able to work on ourselves, the greater zechus our brethren in America, who will be our survivors, the greater merit they will have, the greater siyata deshmaya they will have in going on to rebuild Yiddishkeit. This is what he told his talmidim as they were killed. You know, there was someone there that was hiding, in the bushes, in the background, and observed, an eyewitness that reported exactly this is what he saw when they took out him and his Talmidim to die. And then they shot them all. The Nazis, Yimach Shalom V'Zichron. So this, now, when we look at this today, you're not going to hear this. This is all you're going to hear. B'li yoytzim min haklal. Chas v'sholim. To die al Kiddush Hashem. God forbid. But if it happens to be that it happens, then we should not be bitter. We should accept the Ritzoyin Hashem and say Shema Yisrael. And where do we get this from? Who put this into us? We are not possible of doing this on our own. Impossible. This has been put into us from Avraham and Yitzchak. They have put this into our blood. And no other nation in the world has this but us. And guess what? The Sefer Chasidim says, maybe that's how you learn Pshat in the Pasuk, but that's not how I learn Pshat in the Pasuk. And he says something that is very controversial, very off the charts, very, very disturbing. And he says, Avraham Avinu was mispalel that his children should indeed die al Kiddush Hashem. And this is shocking. Totally.
When confronted with the challenge.
I mean, what do you mean confronted with the challenge? What do you mean confronted? He's being mispalel that Hashem should create a situation where we have to do al Kiddush Hashem. That's what it says over here.
And the words when and if. That's
no, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. Hashem Yira, may it be that Hashem, you see to it that you create a situation where my children will have to do al Kiddush Hashem to make up for this that you took away from me. I mean, this is a shocking thing. You're adding too many words. That's not the Pshat in the Pasuk, what he says. It's so controversial what he says. It's so shocking what he says. That's why you feel compelled to do this. Obviously, like, I agree with you. I'm on board with you. It's a given. Who's not on board with you? But look what he says. Sheyihiyu bonov nishchatim al kiddush Hashem v'nisrofim ki Yitzchak. Could you believe what it says over here? Could you believe what it says over here? Shocking, yeah?
Isn't there a medrash that Satan says, put a chef to put Avraham to this test?
Yes, but that's irrelevant.
Based on a role of the, you know, just the test.
The bottom line.
He's done everything in the world before.
The bottom line is, there was a Nisayon Hashem, Ve'elokim Nisa Es Avraham. Hashem said to Avraham, Kach Nas Binchas Yechidcha Asher Hafta Yitzchak. Bring him as an oiler. He brought him. And then Hashem said, stop. Avraham Avinu, according to the Sefer Chasidim, says to Ribbono Nishal Olam, this is not fair. You gave me a mitzvah, a tzivui, to show how much I love you, to bring my child. It's not fair. You should stop me in the middle. Hashem says, too bad for you. I don't want you to do this. So Avraham Avinu says, if that's the case, you have to make it up to me. How are you going to make it up to me? I demand that you create in my future descendants in history going forward situations where my children will give up their lives al Kiddush Hashem, and they should not just die, they should be burnt. Look what he writes. Sheyiyu bonov nishchotim al Kiddush Hashem v'nisrofim ki Yitzchak. And that's how we learn Shah in the Pasuk. Look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk is Elokim Yir Eloi Haseh, may it be so, Haseh le'oila bin, you should see to it, Haseh le'oila, I'm not sure how he's reading, Yir le'aseh le'oila bini, so he's reading this to mean, sheyiyu, let's go further, sheyiyu bonov nishchatim al kiddush Hashem v'nishrafim ki Yitzchak, usvarich la'kadosh baruch hu, and he blessed Hashem, who shehechezikcha al yitzricha? He thanked Hashem. No. He's going back to the previous section. But he, how does he read this in the pasuk? Yireloi haseh leoila bini. He seems to say that haseh refers to the future generations. That in the future, it's not just that the seh that it's offering now as a replacement should be in the place of Yitzchak. He interprets this to mean, Yir Eloi haseh la'ayla bini, that all future generations, there should be situations where a person dies al kiddush Hashem. Okay, let's go back now to what he's. I'm not really sure how he reads it.
Don't say davening Rosh Hashanah. Eifashel Yitzchak. Eifashel Yitzchak was not burned al Eifah. Means the set. That's the place of the Eifashel Yitzchak. That's what.
That's not what it says over here.
We
say in Rosh Hashanah a toned down version that Avraham Avinu instead of bringing Yitzchak, he brought the Seh. And Chazal said the Ephroi shall Yitzchak tzavur lefanov. The ash is piled. It's a permanent reminder before Hashem, the Zuchus of the Akedah. That's all it is. The Efer shall Yitzchak is the Seh, the sheep. He brought in exchange for Yitzchak a sheep. The sheep was turned into ash. And the ash, somewhere in this world, is still piled somewhere. And we are Mispel Hashem. Look at that ash. Remember, that ash should have been Yitzchak. Should have been. You stopped it in the middle, but it should have been. And therefore, since it should have been, it's as if it was. And that's the chush should stand for us for all generations. But that's not what the Sefer Chassidim is saying. He's saying that Yitzchak was so disappointed that he said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make it up to him. Yireh sheyiyu banav nishchatim al kiddush Hashem v'nishrafim ki Yitzchak. Now, let's go back to the finish of the paragraph. Usavarech l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, usavarech. Usavarech l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Going back, a person over here, he had an Nisayon. He had a very difficult situation, and he was able to overcome the situation. So he should now thank Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, that you've given me the strength, the fortitude to overcome. On the Yetzar Shenemar, ki azava yelukim linasasai, azavai michlal shebiyodei hakol. That when a person fails in a nisayon, it means because Hashem was not with him. If Hashem was with you, the Shechina was with you, that would give you the strength to overcome the nisayon. The word Azav Hashem abandoned me. Meaning if you did not abandon me, you would have been with me, I would have been able to overcome the Yetzer. So the fact that I succeeded in overcoming my Yetzer Hara, it's not because of me. It's not because of me. It's because you, Hashem, control the situation. So now you're going to ask, what in the world is he talking about? Don't we believe in this principle called Bechira Chofshis? The Sefer Chassidim over here is coming to take away from us the entire principle of free will. Man has free will. And here he's telling us that if a person has a situation and he succeeds in not doing an Avera, you should not attribute it to your free will. You should attribute it because Hashem was guarding your hand. Hashem put in your mind the thought not to do it. What about free will? Let's go further. Lekach bikesh David milfonecha shenemar. David was mispalel. Yached levavi liyira shemech. You, Hashem, guide my heart to fear your name. Uchsiv v'ruach nochoin chadesh b'kirbi. You, Hashem, have renewed within me a proper spirit to prevent me from doing an averus. Let's recap what's saying over here and try to answer the question. Number one, he's saying here, if a person finds himself in a situation where he has a very great nisayon and he prevails, don't get carried away. Don't think it's because of your free will. You know why you are matzliach? It's zechus avos. It must have been years ago. Who knows when? Maybe it was 10 years ago. Maybe it was 50. Maybe it was 1,000 years ago. You had an ancestor who had a very similar situation, and they were much greater than us. And they really worked on themselves. They truly expressed their free will and was able to overcome their Yetzirah. When they succeeded, they prayed to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, in the Zuchus, that I was able to overcome this Nisayon, may it be that you protect my children for all generations down the line, that they should always be able to overcome this Nisayon. So that means, if he has a great-great-great-grandchild, and the great-great-great-grandchild has the same exact Nisayon, and he's weak, he's a weakling, and he, on his own free will, would not be able to overcome the temptation, It's because I was able to overcome the temptation, the great-great-grandfather, and he did overcome the temptation, and he used it as an opportunity to pray to Hashem that his descendants should now be spared from the Avera. Hashem will go to the great-great-great-grandchild and put in his mind some unusual spirit that will prevent him from doing the Avera. Isn't that amazing? So that means that that ability to overcome the Nisan was not truly an expression of your free will. So where then do we have the Bechira Chofshis in your life? Guess what? You have other situations. Hashem leaves for you. There are other things in life where there's a balance, a proper balance, and you have the right, the power to express yourself purely on your own merits. For your, and then you can use that to be mispal for your grandchildren. It's part of prayer. So some say that part of the koyach in order to be able to succeed in the tzernis is to be mispalel is tefillah. Tefillah is also a fair form of expressing your bechira chavshis. But before we go to that, look at what he's saying. This is an incredible insight. There are things that every person throughout the day is presented with many, many nisyonos. Some, and let's assume you pass all of those nisyonos. Some of the nisyonos that you pass, it's not because of you. It's not because you are a tzaddik, and it's because of your free will. Somehow you have zechus avos, and that causes there to be a whole new spirit in this world which allows you to succeed. But it doesn't take away from the fact that you have during the day other situations where you don't have zechus avos, and the nisoyon is on a level where you truly can exercise your free will. The balance is 50-50. You're not overwhelmed by the Yetzer Hara. You have free will. And if indeed you exercise your free will in a proper, responsible way, you now create a situation where you can then say to Hashem, look Hashem, I did it. If I did it, I please use this as a moment of rachamim, that for all in the future, you should give my children and myself further strength, a ruach nochon chadesh bekirbi, to always be oimin in this nisayin, even at times where it's really too difficult to prevail. Okay, these are amazing, amazing things he's saying. He's telling us hashkafic principles that you don't hear about. He's telling that Avraham Avinu was mispalel to make it up. I mean, the thing about it, he really answers the question of the Akedah, because why is the Akedah really an Akedah that Hashem should look at the effort shel Yitzhak munach lefanav? Well, if Avraham Avinu is mispalel that it should happen again, that goes to show how serious he was about the Akedah. And we don't want Hashem to listen to that tefillah, obviously. We don't want it, but it totally changes everything. And it totally changes our perspective. When a person is oimed in a soyoin, you're creating for yourself a koyach that you can give over, bequeath to your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, that Hashem will protect them from situations that they truly are not able to overcome. And that does not anyway take away from the opportunities that they will have on their own to further exercise their free will. Okay, now before we go further, of David. Now, yesterday something happened. First of all, I want to apologize to you publicly because it was my fault, okay? I want to say to you publicly, I'm very, very sorry what happened. It's my fault. Chatasi, I don't know how I can make it up. Furthermore, Mr. Aaron Cohn, is very sorry what happened, and he wants to now apologize to you publicly in front of everyone.
I want to apologize to the Robert Levine and to those who were here before we was learning the Sefer Chassidim. I apologize to David, and I hope he accepts my apology, and I apologize for everyone the way I carried on and the way I spoke. whoever was here knows what happened. And I hope you accept my apology, and I apologize to Rabbi Levine and to everyone who was here yesterday. So I hope you accept my apology, and I apologize to you and to all those who were here.
Okay, let's go further. Kuf Samach Aleph. V'im Omadita B'Nisayon Godol Al Tamin B'Atzim Chad Yoyim Ma'ischa. Just because a person passed the test once, there's no guarantee you'll pass the test again. Okay? Loimar Hoyel V'loy Chatasi B'Zeh B'Zeh HaGodol Loyechta Yoyser. Look at that. I'm amazing. I passed the test once. I'll pass the test. No. It's not the same Yetzer. I always love this word, the Satan. Every year, what do we do to the Satan by Rosh Hashanah? We stop blowing shofar the day before Rosh Hashanah in order to confuse him. And then we the tkiyas, the amida, the tkiyas, the yeshiva, we do all of these techniques in order to lebalbel ha-Satan. The Satan has been around for how many years? For 5,777. How foolish could he be? How many times can you see the same movie already? He doesn't know what we're doing. So shoita not to know our tricks. The Teretz is Rabbi Yisai, is the best answer. It's a different Satan. Last year's Satan is on vacation. He's not here. He's in Hawaii on the beach sipping a pina colada. He's having a good time. It's a different Satan. Every year, Klal Yisrael faces new challenges. Every individual faces new nisyonos. The Satan that arrives in the shul on Rosh Hashanah to be mekadrig against Klal Yisrael is not last year's Satan. He never saw the movie. He doesn't know the ending. And every trick we got in the book, he's a freshie, okay? A freshman in college, they call him a freshie. He's a newbie, exactly. He's a newbie, he has no clue what's going on, and therefore he's susceptible to all of our tricks because it's a new Satan. It's exactly what he writes over here. Okay, he writes over here, you may even the next day not be able to overcome the Yetzirah. David lechata b'Avigail. V'chata b'Vashev. What was my son Avigail? David wanted to marry. He met Avigail, and he wanted to kill her husband. Avigail, he wanted to kill Novel, right? Novel? He wanted to kill Novel. Novel went and cursed him, said some terrible things. So David was furious. So he went out to kill Novel. Who came down the mountain to stop him? Novel's wife, Avigail. And what did she say to him? David, lo yotza tivacha b'oilam. Just because you're the melech, it's true, you have been anointed by Shmuel, but no, Bathsheba was later. That's exactly the point he's making. Just because you are the melech, you've been anointed, but not everyone knows about you. You're not so popular. Therefore, you have no right. It's not going to go off well to exercise your power of moired b'malchus and to kill a man without a bezdin, just midin malchus at this point in time. David listened. David retreated. Okay, he was David. They talk about this whole thing about if a woman overpower a man. Okay, in ancient times, for a man to listen to a woman and change his policy was unheard of. It was considered to be the we don't appreciate society today. Women run the world, okay? Women run the world today. Whatever the wife says, you're not going to argue with the woman. You don't argue with the woman. But in those days, it wasn't like that. A woman to tell a man what to do. They say about Shlomo HaMelech. Okay, but Shlomo HaMelech. Okay, their story. It was unheard of. Here, David is coming down the mountain, coming down on his way with an army to murder, to kill Novel for his harsh, insulting words. He was a disgusting person. Novel means disgusting. He was a disgusting person. David was coming to kill him, rightfully so. A woman stops him on the road and gives him Musar and says, "You're making a big mistake." And David, in front of his whole army, accepts the Musar of a woman, listens, and retreats. You can't even begin to imagine what an assoyin that is. A bizoyin to go on the next day in the newspapers that David HaMelech went and was defeated by a woman. And he listened, he did not kill him, and Novel died naturally not that long after. And David ended up marrying Avigail. He ended up marrying this woman. Now, guess what happened not so long later? David and Bathsheba. David saw on the rooftop Bathsheba. There was a problem. She was a married woman. So what did he do? He sent to kill Uriah Hachiti. So just because David was able to hold himself back and not kill an innocent man, or at least not kill someone because it was not the right thing to do once, that lesson was not enough to save him all the tsaros that came from David taking Bathsheba and then having Uriah Hachiti, who was a problematic person to begin with. He was a married b'malchus as well. Uriah Hachiti was also a rebel. He spoke to David disrespectfully, and having him killed, retroactively by having him killed, the whole story, all the lumdis, so he did not do anything wrong. Why couldn't David come to his senses and say, just like I did not kill Novel was disrespectful, I won't kill, in this setting, Uriah Hachiti. Let me hold off just a little bit longer. So the Sefer Chassidim is showing us that just because David was able to be Oymed bin Nisayon once, is no guarantee that he'll be able to be Oymed in a Nisayon, the same similar Nisayon at a second point in time. David, he did not sin against Novel, who's a roidef him. Novel wanted to kill him. Novel wanted to kill David. He didn't kill him. And furthermore, okay, and he did not also kill Shaul. Okay, another story. He did not kill Shaul. He had many opportunities to kill Shaul HaMelech. Shaul tried to kill him. Did not give permission to Avishai, his assistant, to go and kill Shaul. So again, he says many cases. He didn't kill Shaul. He didn't kill Novel. But yet, he went and could not hold back. He sent that, he said, Uriah should be killed. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. So I think he means David would seek out his own good. It was for his own benefit that Uriah should be put to death. I think that's what he means. Now he's going back and summarizing what he learned in the lesson. A person says that I was able to save myself. If a person convinces himself that because I was able to be omid in his soyon today, I'm a tzaddik, I have nothing to worry about, you're making yourself greater than the malachim. What do we mean? Hashem says he does not even trust the kedoshim, the malachim. Uv malach of yosim tohala. He's coming to cast. Hashem puts tohala, and it means fear in malachim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu shu yodea ma'asa liyos enoy mamin b'malach of v'kadoshav. Hashem, who knows the future, does not have faith in his holy ones and in the malachim. But you think, I'm set free. Now that I was able to be oimid in this nisayon, I'm free. I will never happen to me a situation where I'll do an avera. You're greater than the malachim? Are you greater than Hashem? Hashem who knows the future, Hashem who knows everything, even he does not have confidence in what's going to be in the future. And you do. So you know better than Hashem. You know better than the malachim. It's very powerful stuff. Fortunate the person is always afraid to not sin. Hashem person should train himself to know Hashem. Hashem, teach me the goodness of intellect and knowledge. Lamdeni chukecha, teach me your way. So the bottom line over here is, according to this, a person should never ever have faith in himself on many accounts. Just because he was successful, who says it's your merits? Maybe you were able to be successful in not doing an avera because of zuchus avos. And even if you were successful because of your own merits, that's so today you had a good day. Tomorrow's a new day. Who says tomorrow you'll be able to succeed? Al tivinu loli day nisayin v'loli day b'zayin. Okay, don't bring every single day you have to be mispal all over again. Just because yesterday you were successful, it means nothing about the future. So on all accounts, there's nothing for a person to be have gaiva to be arrogant about. And with this, we will conclude for today. Take a short break.